I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
to
evil.
To you, Bill, and to
keep your day job, Jack.
No, Bill, you should quit your day job. That I'm flabbergasted. Jack, you have scored some kind of like inception level mockery of liberal political pundits. I am in awe. I am jealous of the sheer accomplishment of Jack Posobiec here.
They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one.
But Republican voters don't vote that way. They don't vote based on economics or based on the benefits they're getting economically from the president. They're increasingly, from the Tea Party on, they're voting on race.
We'll never have another Republican president if we lose Texas.
I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yes. I mean, again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia.
November 5th is going to go down as the single most important day in the history of our country.
NBC News can now project that the winner of the Democratic presidential contest in American Samoa is that person, Jason Palmer.
In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. Today is March 6, 2024, Anno Domini. And what can I say, folks? What can I say? Welcome to the beginning of the new American Republic. Today is day one. We're not quite there yet. We've begun. We've established the cornerstone. We've established a path forward. And here's the question. Who would be part of the new American Republic? Will you come and join us in this masterwork? Will you come and join us in this new founding of the United States of America? Where we do not seek to overturn the America that was, the history that was, our great nation as built before us. No, no. We only seek to progress from there. And President Donald J. Trump, when returned to his rightful office, begins the first steps on that path now. The general election is upon us. But everyone knows. Everyone knows what is coming. Everyone knows that from here on out, if you want to be part of it, we welcome you with open arms. And what can I say? What can I say to those who've fallen by the wayside along the way? Come and join us now. come and join us. To the Nikki Haley supporters, to the Ron DeSantis supporters, to the anti-woke crusaders, to everyone else who's out there that maybe said, you know, I wasn't a Trump supporter on day one. Okay. Understood. Now is the time. Come on board, because the rightful president is about to be restored to his rightful place. And it's key. It's key for all of us to see. And if you look at the thousands of people that were there at Mar-a-Lago last night, they understand, and this country understands what's going on. This is why Zelensky's wife refuses to come see Biden. Navalny's widow refuses to come to the State of the Union. They know which way the wind is blowing. And if you want to have a conversation with the man who's about to be in charge, you better head down to Mar-a-Lago. It's going to be a great show today, folks. And 2025 is going to be extraordinary. Stay tuned. Right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trim out his outlets, a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
Jack Posobiec back here, Human Events Daily. Look, folks, as we speak, wildfires are raging down in Texas. Who knows how badly that's going to affect the supply chain of food all across America? That's where today's episode sponsor comes in, My Patriot Supply. They've helped millions of American families prepare for the uncertain future, whether it's an economic crisis, a supply chain disaster, or World War III. Many families, like mine, start with four-week emergency food kits. With 16 food and beverage choices, you'll always have something tasty at your fingertips, and the kiddos will never get bored. With over 2,000 calories a day, you'll need all the nutrients you can get. And the four-week emergency food kits come sealed inside ultra-durable packaging and can last up to 25 years. Stock up on all the food kits your family needs at MyPatriotSupply.com. You can get that four-week food kit for $60 off, also free shipping. Protect yourself, protect your people, protect your family's future. Start preparing at MyPatriotSupply.com, MyPatriotSupply.com. Very excited to bring on our next guest. First time we've had him on the show, but he is a columnist over at HumanEvents.com, writes some of the best columns that we have, you know, other than my own, of course, other than my own. But President Trump really enjoys this guy's writing. I don't even think there's been a single time that he's written for us at HumanEvents.com that Trump hasn't actually shared the article out, shared the opinion piece out. So welcome Kenny Cody, columnist for HumanEvents.com. Kenny, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Jack. Thanks for having me on, brother. It's an honor.
So walk me through your takeaways of last night. We opened the show here saying that it really is Trump's party now, and this is something that you've called for a long time. Walk us through the journey that President Trump and the MAGA movement have been on from really the low point that I would say the end of the election, the week after January 6th, he's banned from Twitter. You've got Mitch McConnell up there in the Senate saying he never wants to speak to Trump again. And then fast forward all the way to today, three years and change later, and Mitch McConnell is endorsing him for the presidency.
I mean, I think you can kind of phrase it as an American comeback story. I mean, seen an American restoration turn into an American reformation. You know, Trump was at the lowest points in his presidency, you know, during COVID-19. He had to deal with a global pandemic. He dealt with every delay in policy in 2020. And now he has had a redemption story in getting indicted. He is charged with, I think, not around 91 felonies, and he is going to probably win in every one of those cases. The indictments are not going to matter. We have seen the establishment now rally behind Donald Trump. I hate to say it's too late for Mitch McConnell, but I guess he's on his last leg where he has to pony up and endorse along with Don Bacon and some people like Tom Tillis out of North Carolina. But we're seeing one of the greatest American comeback stories in the history of the country. We saw Grover Cleveland win. All consecutive turns back in the 1800s, but this is a different kind of story. This is because of the American voter. This is because the American electorate that has decided by electoral votes or the establishment or established politicians through a federal bureaucracy in Washington, D.C. This is a movement fueled by American citizens that are tired of establishment politics. They're tired of neoconservatism. They are tired of endless war, and they are tired of a federal weaponization, federal bureaucracy, target political opponents like they did, like they had President Trump. The American voter sees themselves in this man, and this man is going to lead. I like how Ron DeSantis was characterizing the great American comeback. This is the great American comeback. This is a movement encompassing of a rejection of neoconservatism, a rejection of establishment politics, and Super Tuesday for him winning 14 of 15 primary states, and Nikki Haley only winning her only state by 4 points in Vermont, when there is even a Democratic effort to blend over Democrats to the Republican primary in an open primary state, and she still only won by four. In 13, I think around 13, there was 25% or more where Donald Trump won by 25 points, and in 9 states, he won by 50 or more points. That is a complete domination, and that is fueled by the America First movement. That's fueled by Donald Trump and his comeback story, and that is setting the precedent for what the GOP is now. GOP is MAGA, and we're never turning back because of President Trump's comeback.
You're 100% correct on that, Kenny. This is a situation where, you know, and I do want to open this up, the aperture a little bit. So he's shown, President Trump has shown that he's got the vast bulk of voters, certainly in the Republican Party. We see the polls where they stand in terms of independents and others. And so the question now becomes, how does President Trump expand the pie? How does he grow the pie? He's shown that he is the absolute dominating force in the party, as you outline. But I guess my question is, for the folks out there, and I'm not going to call out anyone by name, and you know, this isn't directed at anyone specifically, and you know, many of these people I consider friends and colleagues, but there's a lot of people kind of in this anti-woke movement out there, the crusaders against wokeness, et cetera, who, you know, will rail all day against the latest trans issue, the latest bill, the latest, you know, whatever it is, the latest outrage. Doritos right now is the number one, for example. They'll say those things all day long. And I say, that's great. Are you going to support the most anti-woke candidate in American history, the one man who's going to be on the ballot in November, to actually do something about this? Or are you just going to sit there and complain about it all day? And it strikes me as strange that I'm not seeing a lot of talk from those very people today that are constantly railing against wokeness to congratulate the guy winning who could actually do something about it. Who, by the way, and I said this to Catholic News yesterday, CNA, when we did an interview, I said, this is the guy who banned trans from the military all the way back in 2017. So has the longest record on actually doing things at the federal level against it. Kenny, what am I missing?
I don't know what you're missing, Jack. President Trump's the only reason all these people have careers. The only reason their pockets are lined is the only reason that people can actually make money off of being anti-woke activists. They need to rally and they need to unite behind us now, or they're not going to get another opportunity to. We're not going to give our same money and the same funds, the same attention to these people who are grifting off of President Trump's successes. The entire reason that the anti-woke movement has formulated is not because of George Bush. It's not because of these old establishment Republicans. It's because of President Trump and the movement he started 2015, when he rode down the escalator and announced his bid for the presidency. These people have got to quit grifting. And if they're going to grift, you can grift all you want to, but you better be grifting to help this country out, and you better be grifting to help President Trump beat Joe Biden in November. We are offering a one-time exchange to say, hey, we are extending our hand. Come help us out and you will reap the benefit, but you cannot benefit off of this movement, because this man is the only reason that these people have the opportunity on TikTok, on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, or whatever. The entire reason these people benefit off of the American electorate is these voters have been giving them business because they were invigorated by President Trump in general. The only reason that the anti-woke movement happened was because there was finally a realization that, hey, we can actually fight back against the establishment and win. And he showed that 2016. He's going to show it again in 2024. But we have got to have all hands on deck in order to defeat Joe Biden in November. And if we don't have that, and if these people do not want to aid us and help us out in defeating Democrats, in defeating the far left, in defeating neoconservatives in the GOP, and defeating the establishment and Joe Biden, then they don't deserve a voice. They don't deserve an opportunity to be involved in our movement. It's get in or get out. And right now, after Super Tuesday is, and he is the presumptive nominee for president, you have got to unite behind Donald Trump. And if you don't, we are going to remember, whether that's DeSantis people, whether that's even people with Haley or Vivek Ramaswamy, libertarians, moderates, establishment politicians, whatever, you better unite right now or there's not going to be another opportunity to. He is the entire reason that you have a career that oftentimes you can provide for your family and for yourself. You better show gratitude and you better unite right now or this train is coming and it isn't going to stop. You better hop on while you can.
Well, I think you strike an interesting note there because I do agree that let's say that it's not a grift. Let's say that people are operating in good faith and they're willing to come forward and say, I want to live in America that doesn't have these things, that doesn't have the transing of our children, the grooming of our children, where this stuff isn't jammed down people's throats, where it's not in, you know, especially with the kids stuff. I mean, I got two little kids and we had to get rid of YouTube completely because this stuff, it's getting into Paw Patrol. It's in Miss Rachel. It's in like all of the kids shows are now having it. It's this wokeness, diversity is our strength, transgenderism, gender fluid, et cetera, whatever your latest ism is, you can find it in children's programming, not on like, you know, conservative or just non-woke, et cetera. So my question then, okay, is that if there's one man and there's one movement in America that is actually standing up and fighting back against this, and if this is where all your chips are, why would you not come out and say, that's the movement for me, and that's the movement to make America better? Look, people used to say this about Obama. They would say, Obama's a moderate. He doesn't go in for that stuff. And Biden's a moderate. He doesn't go in for that stuff. Yeah, maybe they don't say it personally, but you know what? The people around them and the people that they are empowered are 100% like that. Last minute here, Kenny Cody till the break.
I mean, yeah, I think it's enabling a wokeist movement. And the thing about it is if these people aren't willing to go on the line and say, hey, we are united behind President Trump because he is fighting against the very evils that we are making our money and making our attention for, then what is the point? You are enabling wokeism by not supporting Donald Trump. That is the bottom line. We have got to unite right now because the enablers like Joe Biden, like Barack Obama, the U.S. Congress, and neoconservatives are the ones enabling our woke culture. If you don't take a stand now, you are enabling woke culture. If you don't take a stand behind the most anti-woke candidate, the person that created the anti-woke movement in 2015 and Donald Trump, then you are yourself enabling woke culture, and you have got to unite now or you're not going to get another opportunity to. It is March. We have only 8 months until the general election. You have got to unite or we are going to kick you out, or we are going to hold you accountable in the same way that you are holding wokest politicians or wokest media corporations accountable. Us, as the MAGA movement, as the Americans, are going to do that.
Quick pause right there. Kenny Cody, fiery words, humanevents.com columnist. I want to talk about that, the fact that we only have 8 months. Time is of the essence. We'll be right back.
You know, they talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine, Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack, he's done a great job.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, I got to tell you something. I like knowing exactly where my food comes from. And with our friends over at Moinkbox, that place is from small family farms all across the country. You can help save the family farm and get access to the highest quality meat on earth when you join the Moink movement today. Moink runs their business from a town of 97 people in Newark, Missouri, and they are helping save our traditions, our values, and save rural America with every order. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. You choose the meat delivered in every box, like ribeyes, chicken breasts, pork chops, salmon fillets, and the best bacon. When Tayate gets the stuff in, I'm like, just give me the box. I want to go right through it top to bottom. Support American farmers by signing up at moinkbox.com right now /poso. And the Human Events audience will get, I kid you not, free bacon for a full year. 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. Spelled moinkbox.com/poso. That's moinkbox.com/poso. Kenny Cody is our guest. Kenny, there is something in the news which I broached a little bit last night on the Superstream with Charlie Kirk and the gang, was breaking news at the time. We have a little bit more information about it now. Elon Musk held a meeting at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump on Sunday. There's a secret meeting that guy, Jack Sweeney, who does the, the Elon Jet account, he actually broke the story, didn't know that there was a meeting, but did see that both President Trump's plane and Elon's plane were at the West Palm Beach Airport roughly the same time. Then the New York Times comes out with the story last night, just as the election results started coming in. And then Elon this morning, and this kind of speaks a little bit to the mentality of what I'm saying, maybe. So Elon posts a tweet saying, just to be clear, I am not donating to either of the campaigns or any campaigns or something, candidates, because I'm not donating to any candidates. And there's the surface level reading of that is that, man, what's going on? Because, Elon Musk has been great. The $40 billion to bring back freedom of speech, talking about immigration, talking about how it affects our country. He had an incredible tweet last night, by the way, about how America is roughly only 4% of the world. If we accept just one more percent, we will be overrun. Just 1% of the world population comes to the United States. It will absolutely devastate our country. What an incredible tweet. And then he says he wasn't going to donate. I said, wait a minute, why is this guy... it feels like he's pulling back in response to the news. However, I will caveat this with, even though I was disappointed when I first saw the tweet, I'll be honest, I thought about it some more and I realized the last owner of Twitter effectively handed Biden the election by banning the Hunter Biden laptop story. And so in his position and capacity as the head of X, the owner of X, we do want there to be a level playing field. And so I don't necessarily want there to be any issues of bias when it comes to X. That being said, come on, man, you could at least tell us who you're voting for. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Kenny?
I mean, I feel a lot the same way. I mean, people are going to question, just like me and you are going to question, like, hey, are you not endorsing somebody or not backing somebody because of your donors? Like, you went and met with President Trump. That's going to get in the news. You've not went and met directly with President Biden, at least in the last few months. I think you might have went to the White House or something and didn't have really rave reviews from that. So what's keeping you from getting involved? And he didn't have any problems saying that he was going to vote for DeSantis in the primary. Right. I mean, that was a tweet about a year ago, was that he was going to get behind DeSantis, or DeSantis would make a good president. So he didn't have any fault in saying that or getting behind that. So why is he keeping from endorsing or donating to one of these candidates? Now, I understand if you don't want to donate millions and millions of dollars to a PAC or something, if you're going to say, I'm not going to give any PAC any money. I mean, that's a different story, but at least tell us who you're voting for. I mean, every one of your sort of policies that you support, your moral systems, the way you feel about woke culture, all of that aligns with Donald Trump. So what's keeping you from doing that? And it's going to raise legitimate questions from people like me, from people like you, from people like that are on X and appreciate Elon Musk for what he's done. And I appreciate what he's done, just like you do. So what is keeping you from that? So, I mean, I think it's just a solvency. Like, just say, hey, man, I'm probably going to vote for Donald Trump and I'm going to vote for the Republicans. You don't have to come out and say and do rallies for the dude or anything, but you can at least say, hey, this is how I feel. This is how I'm going to vote. Everybody knew how the previous guy, Jack, voted for Biden and voted for Democrats down the ballot. He was pretty honest and open about that. So there's nothing wrong, even if he's wanting to prevent a bias and provide free speech on X. I understand why he would want to do that. But there's nothing wrong in saying, if you're going to say, I support DeSantis and I'm going to support DeSantis in the primary, why can't you just say, I'm going to support Trump and you can support who you want to? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if you refuse doing that and then you're going to say, I'm not going to donate to any one of the candidates, especially the donation portion, is kind of going to tell us, are you afraid to donate because of your own corporate investors? And if that's the reason why, that's extremely disappointing by Elon Musk. I don't think that's the reason, but it at least raises questions from people like me and you as to why he's preventing from doing that.
Yeah, it is an interesting question. He said he was going to support, and I remember him. There's even some tweets. I'm pulling this up as you're speaking, saying that Trump is too old for the presidency and Biden is too old. You saw this from a lot of like the Barstool guys were saying that kind of stuff. And sort of these folks out there. And so I'm not going to knock it. And I will say that, like I said, I'm in a position of saying I want to win these people over and I want them to come into the fold. And so I don't want to be, attacking anyone directly. But I do want to point out that if you stand for these things and you actually do believe these things, Kenny, we've got 8 months. That's not a lot of time, is it?
No. No, not at all. And, you know, I think the unification process starts now. I mean, we were going to wait until Super Tuesday was over. We were hoping that Haley and other people would drop out. But I think Ramaswamy got the idea. I think even DeSantis, even if it's his corporate donors telling him, he got the right idea. And now we're done. Like, the presumptive nominee is Donald Trump. There is nothing else to get in our way in terms of deciding a nominee or the corporations getting behind, PACs getting behind. There's nothing preventing a money flow. There's nothing preventing endorsements at this point. So now is the unification process. The unification process is going to last from now until our convention in July. But now starts the general election. I think you tweeted something similar the other day, Jack, that today marked the start of the general election campaign for Donald Trump. All of his opponents have dropped out. All of his previous detractors, among the most, you know, the 1% that's not going to get behind or whatever, but Mitch McConnell, like we talked about earlier, Tom Tillis, others are going to get behind him now. Now it's time for the activists who have money, who have influence, who have the access to media, who have the access to influence, to get behind the only candidate that is anti-woke, that stands for against, however, the erosion of our culture, stands against anti-wokeness intervention in the culture, and stands for policies that's going to put America first. You know, I think the mainstream media.
Actually, I got one. Like, we got one in from the comments just right now that I just saw. Here's a question. Hey, Glenn Youngkin. Glenn Youngkin, who are you voting for president, Glenn Youngkin? Governor of Virginia? Who are you voting for, Glenn Youngkin? Are you Mitch McConnell has come in. Nikki Haley has kind of gave her speech. She's decided she's going to encourage Trump, whatever that means. Ron DeSantis came in. Glenn Youngkin, the sitting governor of Virginia, has yet to endorse Kenny. I don't. This doesn't sit right with me.
No, me either. And it, you know, it would be make a lot more sense if it was somebody like, you know, like you said, like Mitch McConnell hadn't endorsed yet, and all these other moderate. I mean, dude, Don Bacon endorsed him. Don Bacon from Nebraska, the most rhino moderate congressman that we have in the United States Senate, that votes more in line with Joe Biden than any congressman or senator in the United States Congress, endorsed Donald Trump. Like, Glenn Youngkin, man, he won literally because of anti-wokeist cultural issues, like in education, in cultural in general, the cultural erosion. The only reason he won was that he wanted to give parents a voice in education in Virginia.
Perfect is the perfect example of who we're talking about. Glenn Youngkin is a perfect example. And by the way, when I say that I'm not calling out people directly that are my friends and colleagues, Glenn Youngkin is different because he's an elected official. So do the job, finish the job, Glenn. Finish the job that you said you would start when you ran for governor. We understand your term limited, one term. You know, he's talking about being a senator. People were talking about him running for president at one point. Okay, great. Wonderful. This is the new party. Are you going to be part of it or not?
Yeah, it's get on the ship or jump off, man. Like it doesn't make any sense to me that Glenn Youngkin, again, who won because of cultural erosion, he won because anti-wokeness funded his campaign, got behind him, liked his rhetoric, and he won an election he was not supposed to win. It's not like he was safe or anything. And he's a one-termer, like you just said. Like, what do you have to lose? I know you want to run for president or Senate, but you don't have to run in for election again after your first term. So why not get behind the presumptive nominee? He's going to be the nominee in July. There is literally no point. It is 2:32 on the dot Eastern Standard Time in East Tennessee right now, and he is in the same time zone as me, and we have still not heard anything from Glenn Youngkin to endorse Donald Trump. We've heard from Mitch McConnell, Don Bacon, and Tom Tillis. We need to hear from Glenn Youngkin, who literally won because of the anti-woke culture that Donald Trump created in 2015. He owes his career, and all of these politicians that like to say, hey, I don't owe my career to Donald Trump. I don't owe my career to Trump. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I mean, I hate to break that news to everybody, but the reason that any of these politicians who are running on cultural issues, whether it comes to LGBTQ, whether it comes to just wokeist cultural in general, cancelizations of corporations or whatever, you are in office because of Donald Trump. You're not in there because of George Bush or anybody else. You are there. If you won in the last 5 years, if you won in the last 8 years, if you really won the last 10 years because of the movement leading up almost 10 years next year, you won because of the movement that Donald Trump created. And you now, owe that responsibility to not just Donald Trump, but to the voters that elected you and his America First base that got you to where you are, whether you're making money and lining your pockets off of grifting off of anti-woke culture or you are in elected office. You owe it now to rally behind Donald Trump to make sure that he's the next president so you can continue fighting the culture and continue to fight against cultural erosion. Now we're either going to see if you're willing to line your own pockets, willing to kind of benefit your own individual stake, or that it was all or if you kind of unite behind Donald Trump and ensure that we can continue to fight back and create the most anti-woke presidency and the most consequential presidency, I'm hoping, in American history by this revenge tour that Donald Trump's about to go on in 2024, if he is able to defeat Joe Biden, which I do believe he's going to be able to.
Kenny Cody, fiery words. You've got to get you back, man. Let people know how to follow you. And, of course, we know humanevents.com is where you hang your words.
Yes, humanevents.com. I'm on Muckrack, which is a journalist website where all of my archives mm-hmm. over the last few years stored. You can follow me on X, otherwise known as Twitter, at KDCodyTN. And just find me on all social media platforms. I post on Instagram, Facebook, all that kind of stuff. But all my stuff.
All right. God bless you, Coney. Good stuff, man. All right. General Tata, Anthony Tata, joins us next. Former member of the Trump administration.
Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzer's.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live, Human Events Daily. Folks, the world is in complete flames. And Bidenomics is a total disaster, but it cannot, will not ruin my day. And I'll tell you why. It's because I start my day every day with a hot America First cup of Blackout coffee. This coffee is 100% America. Blackout coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support and shipping, they embody true American values. And accept no compromise on taste or quality. I love this stuff. You will too. Let me tell you something. Just go to blackoutcoffee.com, promo code POSO20 for 20% off your first order. We know Easter's coming up. You can give your friends, your family, the gift of being awake, not woke with Blackout Coffee. That's blackoutcoffee.com/POSO, blackoutcoffee.com/POSO, promo code POSO20. Really excited for our next guest. A retired brigadier general, former member of the Pentagon in the Trump administration, was senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense, later the Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Ladies and gentlemen, General Anthony Tata joins us. General, we're honored to have you on.
Great to be with you, Jack.
It's been a minute. We used to go on all the time before we had the independent show here. But I wanted to ask you, so given the lockup of President Trump's nomination here, it seems all but secured as of last night. No mathematical way that anyone, again, obviously his last opponent has dropped out, so it's, you know, presumptive nominee. Given that chance, with the state of our world right now, let's get to business, because I said the cornerstone has been built, but he's right. Going to have a huge bill come due on his desk day one of the administration, if and when he returns as president. Let's look at the foreign policy perspective here for right now. You've got Israel, Gaza. You've got Ukraine, Russia, China, Taiwan, always on the horizon. President Trump says peace is going to be his way forward and that he will attempt to end these conflicts within 24 hours. He's actually even said within 24 hours of winning the election. Given your experience with the administration, how do you see them moving forward from a military geopolitical strategy?
Yeah, Jack, great points all. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this before I left as the one performing the duties as Undersecretary for Policy. I was talking to my NATO partners daily about Afghanistan and troop levels and all of that. And we had great diplomacy from the State Department. And what's missing right now is lateral communications with our NATO allies, with our allies around the world, and with our adversaries. You got to be able to talk to people, you know, for example, in Ukraine, there's been zero diplomacy. you know, it, everybody's, you know, head explodes when you say, well, we got to sit down and talk to Putin. Well, what did Obama do in 2014, 15 after they took Crimea? He let them have it. He didn't whiff, you know, there was nothing. And the media just kind of said, yeah, okay, that's cool. Obama did it. It must be cool. And now if you want to talk to about drawing a line, having a negotiation, and I think that's what Trump's talking about, is sort of a quasi Balkan-esque, here, let's do a zone of separation. Let's get some peacekeepers in there. Let's hammer out an agreement that will only do so much with NATO. Because, you know, we've got to stop a war in the middle of Europe. We got to get our troops either out of the Middle East, or we've got to go big with Iran. Those are really the only two options. And all that starts with energy security at home. And once we have energy security at home, then we can, have less reliance on the oil from the Middle East. And certainly don't need our troops over there catching javelins in the chest every day from the Shia militia groups that Iran is funding. And that, this is all funded by Iran. This is all Iran's finger in our eye. And Biden's got to be compromised in some way, or Obama is compromised in some way, to the point that they treat Iran with kid gloves. They don't want to do anything that will disrupt Iran's hegemony in the region, and the Shia militia groups from Hezbollah all the way down to the Houthis across the Arabian Peninsula.
Well, and speaking specifically, I guess, you know, first, obviously, there's no question that President Trump has shown his dealings with these militias in the past by going ahead and taking out their top leaders, Soleimani, when he was right in office. But as Brigadier General, I'd love to ask you about the situation in Ukraine, because we keep being told that if we just give the Ukrainians more money, if we give the Ukrainians more equipment, then they have a fighting chance. They can keep going. They can keep fighting. And yet you look at the stalemate that this has turned into. You look into the frozen conflict that's turned into. Mm-hmm. To me, I think mm-hmm. there's a numbers issue. And we have Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer comes on all the time and talks about this, to say it's simply a matter of Ukraine not having enough able-bodied men to go up against the forces of Russia. And that's just a math problem mm-hmm. that ain't going away.
Right. And how you solve that problem is you get America's sons and daughters in there to increase the arithmetic on the Ukrainian side. And that's not happening if Trump comes in there. I'm not sure what this, irresponsible Biden regime would do. You got the most incompetent Secretary of State in Blinken. You got Austin, who doesn't tell his boss when he's out for a couple of weeks. Of course you got Biden with the worst instincts, but the diplomacy, I always look at these things, Jack, through diplomacy, military, economic, and information power lens. So how are we doing in diplomacy in Ukraine? Zero, right? There's been no diplomacy trying to find a joint solution to this. And there's no vision. There's no articulated strategy to the American people through any kind of true information campaign other than the influence campaign that you must have a yellow and blue flag in your profile and support Ukraine. That's not providing the information to the American people. That's an influence campaign from the administration in the mainstream media. And then, military, we're rotating some combat brigades into Romania and Poland, the Lithuania, et cetera. I actually think that's probably good. I think, the integrity of NATO is a good thing. So I give us, an okay mark there. And then these economic sanctions do nothing except for strengthen Russia and drive China, Iran, and North Korea, our four main adversaries, together. And so the strategy has, if you can call it that, has been woefully ineffective and poorly designed, run by people who don't know what they're doing. And that's where we find ourselves today. And that's why it's important when President Trump comes in that he pick people that are loyal to him and have practice in exercising his vision Because what happened last time is he had all these geniuses in the establishment that didn't support him. But when he won, they were like, oh, hey, Mr. President, we love you. And they jumped across that threshold and they still didn't support him. But they had all these great jobs that helps enrich themselves. That's the definition of the swamp. To be able to come in and end things in a very short period of time, at least get that started. He's got to have people that believe in him and in his vision. And that's a very small group of people that were with him, toward the end of his term.
Well, I couldn't agree more when it comes down to that, the fact that we finally, at the end of the first term, got to see what I would say, what a true America First administration right. would look like. Unfortunately, we were denied the ability to continue that that term all the way forward. There's been a short interregnum where Americans have gotten a taste of what the other kind of leadership would be. I said this at CPAC as well, and President Trump's been making sort of the joke that we're living through the third administration of Barack Obama. You do have so many of these Obama holdovers, like Victoria Nuland, who finally pulled up Jock. She's getting out of Dodge because she knows what's happening as of yesterday. We're coming up on a quick break. Our guest here is General Anthony Tate. He's got a new book. We're going to ask about that in the next segment here to walk us through, but also going through all of the issues facing President Trump on a foreign policy perspective. And in fact, the border, believe it or not, the border actually is a foreign policy issue. We'll explain coming up next.
Working long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here, Human Events Daily. Our guest is General Anthony Tate. We're so excited to have him on. General Tate, as we left, I was talking about this. Explain for our audience, obviously there's a military dimension to this, but also how our open borders at the southern border are a function of foreign policy, are they not?
Yeah, they're absolutely a function of foreign policy. The border patrol, the integrity of our border really defines us as a nation. And because of our geopolitical positioning with two oceans on either side of us and a friendly neighbor to the north and semi to the south, we've enjoyed relative peace and prosperity on our soil. And the one way that you could attack us from inside out is to cross the border. And so we know for a fact that Hezbollah and Hamas and China and Russia and Chechens and all sorts of ne'er-do-wells are coming across that border. And when they say X million, whatever that number is, that to me is a real, we don't know what we don't know. It's X plus something. We know that much. And when you think about all the intelligence failures, Jack, and you're an intel guy, right? You think about how bad we got it in Afghanistan. We didn't think about the Taliban, overrunning the country and miss that. We missed the intel in Ukraine, quite frankly. Remember, Zelensky and Biden offered, Biden and Blinken offered Zelensky a ride out and on the eve of the invasion. How wrong was their intelligence about that? And think about if Trump had done that, it would have never, it didn't happen under Trump. But, the headline would have been Trump does Putin favor by offering to decapitate Ukrainian government on eve of invasion. But mainstream media did nothing with that. Right. It was a wrong headed move. And then we missed the Hamas thing. And now I come to the border and we see that there's zero control on the border. We have zero intel collection going on. We have zero, it's just chaos down there. And it's the perfect way to come into the country and sort of rip us from inside out. And so somebody's planning something somewhere. It hadn't manifested yet, but it will.
Well, it's incredible because here we are, 20 years plus after 9/11, and the first thing we do with these illegal aliens is put them on airplanes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're flying them all over the country to be sneaky about it. And I this administration is the most dishonest, corrupt, craven administration that in my lifetime, at least. And thank God for people like you, Jack, and others that are exposing the truth, keeping the pressure on to get through the mainstream media narrative influence operation that's happening in collusion with the administration.
Now, well, thank you so much, General, and I really do appreciate that. Tell us some more about the book. By the way, I remember the book Dark Winter was a fantastic novel of yours. I read that thing cover to cover, and it got into a lot of these same issues that the new book covers, tech fascism, tech futurism. Walk us through that.
Yeah, so Jack, what we were just talking about, the collusion between the media, the White House, and now throw big tech in there. And it's big tech against the little guy. And our hero, Garrett Sinclair, has to help defend the little guy. And so when you think about what's happening today with the digital carnivores trying to consume all of our information and control us, think about government and big tech coming together. Think about that guy that was calling up Twitter saying, hey, look, you know, while he's eating a cheeseburger, hey, look, I don't like these 30 names. They have accounts. They're saying mean stuff about the president. Deplatform them. And then another guy in Twitter said, yeah, okay, that's cool. And they deplatform people and they ruin lives and they block people and they demonetize people. And I thought that's where the inspiration for this book came from. It's like, oh my God, that's fascism. That is genuine techno-fascism, where you have Zuckerberg and Google. Like, what happened on Super Tuesday morning? I don't believe that was just a coincidence. Like, oh yeah, everybody's out at the same time. Call it what you want, but you know, it's a mostly Republican kind of event. If I want to share, hey, I voted for Trump, I couldn't do it on any of these social media platforms. And so, you know, the real issue is, how is big tech colluding with the government to control our lives and deplatform us as humans? And what you, at the start of the book, is Garrett Sinclair, the protagonist, actually breaks out of prison. And metaphorically, I have him breaking out of prison, which is like, if you break out of the narrative, the mainstream media narrative, they're coming after you. And so the whole thing is, they're coming after Sinclair because he got away. He's rebuilt his team. He's trying to protect the little guy. They're doing decentralized Wi-Fi, decentralized finance, where you can. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I just meant to say, one of the things that I love about your series is that you're not talking about sort of the, you know, Tom Clancy had his, you know, we had the KGB and the Cold War was all that. You've actually taken a series to take the issues that we deal with on a regular basis and transform them into these political military thrillers. That's what's so incredible about this.
Yeah, Jack, I love this country that we both served, and what I see happening to it. It's not a political book at all, but it's a political military thriller, anybody from any direction can read it. It's got a realistic backdrop. It's undeniable that the guy in the White House called the guy on Twitter and said, deplatform these people. That's on the record. So it's that basic premise that I say, that's really bad. That's really bad if big tech and big government come in and put their jackboot on the neck of the little guy. And that's what this book is about. And Sinclair's got to save the little guy. And ultimately, he wonders if all the work that he and his team, his special operations team, have done is worth it. Here he is. And you look at the recruitment rates today.
So we're just about out of time. Where can people go to get a copy of the book?
Anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore, or my website, ajtata.com.
General Anthony A.J. Tata is the name. The book is The Phalanx Code. Go get yourself a copy. You will love it as much as I did. But I wonder if we'll see the general in a new administration headed by the rightful president of these United States, Donald J. Trump. But ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore.